driven by this desire to relax. You just work pretty hard. You generally work long hours. Work hard, and life can be stressful. And, you know, we deserve this little bit of free relaxation. So if you've got the money, you can have some pretty nice playtime. Just look at the ads that capture that sentiment. You know, they paint this picture. You know, when I was a kid, ads were, you know, this is what's in this product, this is how good this product is. But now they paint this lifestyle. You know, if you buy this, things are going to be really, really cool. You know, if you just buy this four-wheel drive, your family instantly. Spend half your life at doctor's appointments, you know, but you're glad to be there. Better than being at work. I think though the reality is, and I think we instinctively know this, but we don't want to believe it. The reality is that comfort and pleasure really don't bring the best out of us as humans. See, because we're designed to live for meaning, we're designed to have purpose, we're designed to have a passion, we've got, and I know that that's different, it changes by degree depending on the kind of personality we have. But we need a reason to exist. And so this life of comfort and pleasure doesn't usually bring out the best in it. And there are some pretty interesting stats on retirement, for example. So some of the risks that can happen as people work, not prepared for it, stress and anxiety, depression, you can miss that sense of identity when you conclude your work, and that sense of meaning and purpose and loss of some is leisure and relaxation for all. There's that social interaction too. It's that social interaction that often many jobs bring. And keeping in mind active, you know, often people that all they look at is comfort and rest and relaxation. They stop learning, it's just a lot of course, and you start to become bored and aimless. And there's an isolation that comes with that. You know, you want to shrink back, you don't want to bother going out anymore. And that can lead to all kinds of health issues. There's financial concerns for some people. I heard once somebody say retirement is described as twice as much husband and not as much money, which indicates to us that retirement can bring relationship problems as well. This is especially a concern when it comes to life in the kingdom, because we all know that God actually has a purpose for us. And just as we can lose our life's energy if we have no meaning, we can also lose our spiritual joy and peace if we run away from the Lord. And one place we see this lesson really clearly is the story that Jesus told of the rich fool. Many of you know the story quite well. It comes to us in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse rating of 21. This is not a bank rating, but I just want to start. So let's give this a and someone calls from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to defy our father's estate with me." Just context there. Usually the oldest son, Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things?" And he said, "Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you earn." Then he told the story. A rich man had a fertile farm and produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What shall I do? I don't have enough room for my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build big ones, and I'll have room enough to store all my wheat. And I will sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, we have had enough stored away for many years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and come.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you simply a person joined by a life. And God meets him. One of the most famous calls in the Bible. Let's read it, Exodus chapter 3, starting verse 1. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement, though the bush was engulfed in flames and didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why is it that the bush is burning up? Why is it that the bush is burning up?" I must ask. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer, the Lord will take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the Lord of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face, because he was afraid to look at the Lord. Then the Lord said to him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Look, the cry of Israel, my people Israel, has reached me. You have seen how harshly the Egyptians have treated me. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." So listen, this was the call that came to Moses. Now, the call wasn't totally out of the blue, as most calls are. It's not that Moses had no comprehension of what was happening in Egypt. He'd grown up in Egypt after all. So he was aware of what's happening down there. He was somewhat traumatized, if you remember the story, by his experience. He ran away from them. He knew the plight of the people in Israel, his people. And he was angered. Angered by how they were treated by the Egyptian slave drivers. As you recall the story, he tried to take matters in his own hands at one point, but he didn't go so far and ended up having to run away. He fled into the wilderness and here he ends up. But you know, he put all that behind. He was settled back. It had been so many years ago that he had that experience. He was settled back. He was comfortable. He had a family. He had a simple job far removed from the politics of Pharaoh's court. But God had an agenda. God had an agenda for his life. The agenda started right back in the wilderness. He was spared from the genocide. There was a reason for that. There was a purpose behind why Moses was saved as a baby. There was a reason why God had him raised in Pharaoh's house. He had a plan for Moses' life. And herding sheep around the countryside was not it. Now for a season, God allowed Moses to find peace. He found a woman he would love and got married. He had a family. And in the wilderness, he found peace. Time for him to fulfill his purpose. Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people?" I'm not qualified for this. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a priest. I don't know anything. I'm not qualified for this. You're asking me to go down to Pharaoh's court and make Pharaoh release me. I'm not political. Fourth objection is, I don't speak. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I don't have the ability to speak. God, of course, gives him answers for all of these. Finally, the last one is to speak. Surely someone's given. Surely there's someone younger and stronger and more capable. just an unkind or semi-retired form of grief for a group of people that could be the greatest blessing to our modern Christian church. Now, it is true that we value the young, and we've spent some time last year talking to how important it is to raise up the young. That is really important. But consider for a moment how many hours are available for those who are semi or retired. It's a huge, huge resource. Now, I don't want to make anyone feel guilty about the time. That is not my intent. I don't think that's what the parable meant when Jesus told me. You have worked hard. You deserve a raise. By all means, do that. Travel. Do that. Enjoy your hobby. Join a club. Spend more time with your family. Please do that. Please enjoy. But don't spend all of it on just yourself. God may well call you out of that prophecy, just like he did with Moses. And even if we are older, our most significant contribution could still be here. Now, I speak to a church where I know that most of you are doing this. We have